The following is a KMOX sports special.
Our city, our spirit.
Welcome to the City Spotlight.
It's in! City goal!
Now, your host, Jen Cease, on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome into the downtown studios of KMOX Radio. I'm Jen Cease, and we'll be your host tonight for the City Spotlight. That was cool to hear. Last time we had the spotlight, I mean, sometimes you got to get going with the season, right? And we just kind of did music. Kyle Sixta, who's here with me on the controls. Kyle, I know you pumped in some music whenever I needed that. You didn't tell me that was coming.
Yeah, surprise, Jen.
That was really cool. Always good to hear Joey Zanaboni on the call. We got to fly in some Dale Shilley, like, reactions when City scores.
Yeah, I love when Dale, just the sound effects that he makes on the goal calls are just the best.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, we need to score a goal, so I will get to that in just a moment. To Maria Kina's point, who just talked about the weather, I think she said, was it 33, feels like 20. And that's right, because I was at City practice on Tuesday, and I swear, when I pulled into the parking lot, my car gauge, you know, you have a little car gauge, weather said 62. And I was like, okay, I actually brought three coats because I wasn't sure which one to wear. Because you never know on the City training field, it's down kind of there right by 40 and it's kind of got a wind tunnel. So you never quite know. And I thought, oh, this feels good. I'll wear my lighter jacket. But the wind was nuts. So by the time we got done with practice, I was frozen. I got back into my car and I just looked at the gauge and went, liar. It was much colder than 62 degrees. It was the cold weather that you're like, the only thing that's going to warm me up is like a hot shower. So that's my comment on the weather. Let's go over to City St. Louis. So we're going to talk about St. Louis City SC and a little bit of other stuff today for the 1 hour we have. You know, undefeated. That is a welcome word in sports, but perhaps not when it's just based on ties. Then we don't get a Dale Shilley reaction like Kyle and I were talking about. St. Louis City SC is two games into the MLS regular season. They've got one tie at home with the Colorado Rapids, 0-0, and one time away against MLS's newest expansion club, San Diego FC, 0-0. So no goals conceded, yet no goals scored. Just yesterday, on a really windy Tuesday, like I said, the media was at City training, and we heard from head coach Olaf Melberg. Now, as to the San Diego game, he had one basic theme to call out.
Our quality on the ball on the day was just not good enough. We defended really well, but our quality in possession was bad. I was surprised that we were not better on the ball. I really thought that we would be able to play ourselves out of their pressure more often. If we would have just been able to put 8-10 good attacks together in the way that we planned, I think we would have won this game.
Yeah, and not only was City lacking in ball possession quality, Coach Melberg called out another gap. Now, that gap particularly was in supporting Simon Betchard and Cedric Twishart up top.
I think they didn't get too much help. The problem was that we had a good plan on how to get out of the pressure of San Diego. We didn't manage to do that, but we were still a lot of people in build-up. They were very isolated on the longer ball. If I had known beforehand that we would have had such an off day on the ball, we would have had a better plan to help Simon and Cedric, you know, for that longer option. Now they were very isolated, which meant they also lost the ball on several occasions. But they're working hard and they did a good job.
Right. So when you're up top, of course, and you don't have anybody to play to and your opponent has numbers back, likely to lose the ball more. Cedric Twishart, of course, still rounding into form after preseason. I believe it was a groin injury, and then he had to deal with getting his green card back in Germany. But to sum it up, lack of quality on the ball leads to losing the ball more often, of course, which leads to needing more players in the defensive buildup, as Coach Olaf just talked about, and that ends up in an isolated offense with fewer chances created. One bright spot, though, for the former center back himself, Melberg called out the City defense.
I think we did well in high, medium block, low defending. We had enough numbers. We were really close of winning the ball on several locations. They play with quite a lot of risk, and they did well in that build-out. They had quality. But I think from a positioning tactical point of view, we were really well organized, even in the high defending. With a little bit more intensity individually in that defending, we could have won a few balls higher up the pitch.
He went on to explain his pride with the City defense in conceding no goals and very few chances in the first game with more possession. I looked that up, and it was around 53% with the Colorado game, followed by a game with San Diego, much lower, 34% with San Diego. We spent a lot of time talking defense or offense, that front line really with Coach Melberg with City. So I wanted to check with him on what an ideal midfield transition looks like.
Yeah, I think you had quite a good picture in the first game. I think that we created quite a lot of chances. We were able to attack in different ways in wide areas. The ball in behind was dangerous, but also through possession attacks. You know, so I don't want us to become predictable and only play the longer balls or only become a possession team.
So there you have it. Tight and coordinated on defense, but more quality on the ball overall so that front line of attack isn't isolated. All combined with unpredictability in play for the opponent. Now, on the injured side of City, just had a quick update with him yesterday. Rasmus Alm, of course, is still out. Tomorrow, Friday, a visit to the dock hopefully finds Joachim Nilsson ready to begin team training again. So not game ready, but hopefully find that he's healing. We'll be back in with team training if that goes well. On Tuesday, saw Jake Girdwood-Reich training up fitness and strength, running laps and dragging the weights around. Always a boring thing to do, but you have to do to get ready to be back on the pitch. But good to see him out doing his thing. On the non-injured side, it was great to see in San Diego, Celio Pompeu get into the game. He and Tomas Ostrak have been in training with the team. Watching them, it seems like they've never been injured. They both look really good on pivots, on turns, even on tackles. So they look really good. It'll be nice to see if Tomas gets in soon. Also, Timo Baumgartel, Tom Timmerman of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch yesterday asked Coach about him. He's apparently training up fine. He's fit, but, you know, he admitted there's a lot of competition at the center back, so it may take some time to see him in the lineup, I guess, wherever that fits. City's next game, of course, is they go back out to the West Coast against the 2024 MLS Cup champions, LA Galaxy. That's Sunday, March 9th, so it's a earlier game and on a Sunday. Pre-game's at 5:30 p.m. on Y98. More to come. We've got to check in with our favorite game analyst, Dale Schilly. He's the St. Louis City Academy director and game analyst. Of course, he's seen both games, and we want to get his thoughts on both as City gets ready to head out to LA. More to come on the City Spotlight right here on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city, our spirit.
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
Welcome back to the downtown St. Louis studios of KMOX Radio. Jen Cease here. Joining me now, Dale Schilly, St. Louis City Academy Director and my favorite game analyst over on our sister station Y98 for all city games. Dale, you told me that you might be stepping off of a pitch. Did you guys practice outside tonight?
We did practice
you
outside
did.
Tonight. Yeah, it was... I got off at 7 o'clock-ish, so it was bitter.
Yeah, right. The temperature gauges are liars. That's not what it feels like.
It was cold and the wind. It was. Let's just say there wasn't a lot of teaching going on. Hopefully, there was a lot of learning.
There you go. One can hope. So, shifting over to the city side, I saw you out there a little bit yesterday when the team was training. The segment before just played some clips from Coach Olaf Melberg. To kind of sum it up, you know, it seems like he's proud of city defense, right? He's not right now happy with at least the second game. Attackers that were isolated because we didn't respond well to the press per se, but you know, overall said the identity of City when I asked about a midfield transition could be maybe found in the first game. So unpredictable. Does that sound about a good way to sum up City so far?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's unpredictable in that Colorado was depleted. Their first group was depleted. And they were on, you know, tired legs from the Champions Cup. San Diego, more cohesive, had a good preseason, good opening game, so had a lot of energy and whatnot. So I think a lot of it had to do with the opponent, both, you know, our ability to get forward in the first game and inability the second game. I think, you know, some of it had to do with the opponent, but for sure, he's got to take away the fact that we've given up minimal chances in two games and two shutouts. So, if you're going to build from somewhere, that's not a bad place to start.
You know, one of the things that I didn't play in the clips, because it was a very brief answer that he gave, was talking about the Cedric Teuscher and Simon Boettcher sort of pairing. It may not look like that on the lineup, but those two basically working together, and you know, somebody asking if basically, you know, what does Joao Klaus offer to that? You know, considering, again, different opponents, right? But Joao Klaus was in a game where more chances were created. You know, his kind of pairing with either Simon and or Cedric, did that, do you think that factored in at all, and his ability to, maybe he's not scoring right now, but to be involved in chance creation?
Teuscher?
Joao Klaus.
Klaus?
Yeah.
You know, first off, you're going to have to mess around with the lineup. And for Olaf, he's got to try different pairings. He's got to look at different combinations. How do they fit together and whatnot? And so it didn't surprise me that Teuscher got the start after he had missed a few trainings in preseason, got a full week of training underneath him. The game just didn't fall right for him. He couldn't get on the ball. He didn't find the ball. We couldn't find him. So it didn't work out for him. And then, you know, the only thing with Klaus and Boettcher together as a partnership is they're pretty similar in terms of where their strengths are, you know, hard work, pressing, movement, getting inside the and being a box sort of center forward, particularly in Boettcher's case. So it's a hard combination to find. So I think Olaf's going to be wrestling with that one for a little bit to try to figure out not just the pairing, but how do they play off each other? Like, how does Klaus and Boettcher play together? What does Teuscher bring when he's with Klaus? Where do you want Teuscher to get the ball? Where do you want Klaus to be involved at? And then, you know, the X factor for me is Hartl, and how does he impact the game on the front half of the field?
You know, it's funny, when we were at practice, media were huddled. It was very cold, like you mentioned. We were kind of huddled together.
Yeah.
And as, you know, one wants to do, likes to play with the lineup on your own, is not the coach with no pressure. Should City, in a way, get these players on the field together? Klaus, Boettcher, Teuscher, Hartl, Durkin, and Leuven. And I don't know, do you put everybody out there? Do you try to do something like that? And would that fit with the formation that Olaf seems to like to want to run at this point in time?
Yeah, it's a hard one. I think you named six players there.
I know there are other players on the field.
All central players. There's really only five spots in the system for central players, two holding mids, an attacking mid, and two strikers. So somebody's left off of there. So I don't know. And you know, we've seen Boettcher play like a hybrid role in the past, where he was wide in a 4-2-3-1, and he would try to come inside and go in behind Klaus and get into the inside channel that way. I just think that for Boettcher, he needs to be central and as high as he can. And I know he'll play wherever and he'll work hard and try to contribute in whatever way. But I think his strengths are when he gets the ball in and around the 18-yard box. He has a knack for finding ways to score goals. He's not really a wide guy.
Yeah, and if you think about
it, a hard one.
I know it doesn't vibe with a lot of people when it comes to Klaus, 9, and DP. I get that. Right, I understand that, but one of Klaus's strengths is he is able to fly underneath people and play off of them, and if it's able to create chances, we know that sometimes Klaus maybe comes back a little too often, even though Olaf does want box to box players. But it seems like if they were to be able to work that kind of system together, it might work if Klaus played a bit under Boettcher.
Yeah, I mean, and we've seen Klaus play as a 10. To kind of free him up. It's harder to mark a guy that's not pushed up against the center back if he sits in between the lines, per se. You know, I could see us going to like a single striker, because I'm wondering if Boettcher and Klaus both aren't better off as a single target rather than having a partner, and then with a couple of guys underneath them. So, for instance, you could see Klaus as a single 9 or Boettcher as a single 9, and Teuscher and Hartl playing off of them, you know, underneath as two tens. I could see something like that. But again, the Hartl one's a head scratcher because last year we saw just, you know, when he was playing wide left, but he had the freedom to come inside and, yeah, and get the ball and dictate the game in there. And, you know, when he did that, he found a lot of room, a lot of space, and a lot of good timing to get onto the ball. When he's playing as a 10, now a central position, he's starting in that central area. He's not getting as much of it. And when he gets it, he's not faced up. He's having to play with his back to the goal. And he's just so creative when he's facing up and facing the goal that he's attacking. I think maybe we got to figure out how to get him the ball in, you know, in a different scenario, in a different situation.
All right, so St. Louis City on the West Coast comes back to St. Louis, back out to the West Coast. You guys are going to head there for the LA Galaxy, defending champs, of course, but got a few challenges of their own. And not that a team's built on two players, but, you know, I'm not sad that Painsel is maybe not going to be on the field or Ricky Pooch.
Yeah.
Is that something you consider without disrespecting your opponent, but maybe opponents, you know, I'm sure teams looked at City when very first time Klaus was scoring like crazy and he went on an injury. Is it a team that might be ripe for the picking?
Oh, I would say for sure. They haven't found themselves. Now, they kicked off tonight. I haven't turned the game on. I'm going to, as soon as you and I are done, I'm going to go in and watch the Herediño and LA Galaxy game in the Champions Cup. They started, I think, at 7:30 our time. And
it's still 0-0. So, you know.
Okay, thanks.
Got
so,
it.
So Painsel, Puch, and Jovalich, along with some others, are no longer there. Marky Delgado. But the first three, Puch and Jovalich and Painsel, are game-changing players. Painsel can just run at you and score at any moment.
Yep.
Puch can get the ball off of a center back and single-handedly get the ball into the front third of the field without any help. And Jovalich is just a great center forward and a box center forward that scores goals. He needs service, but he can score goals. And so you miss those three guys. Those three carry a lion's share along with Peck. But, yeah, so is this a good time to catch him? Yeah, you better believe this is a good time to catch him. And you would also think that with some of the money they've made with players that have moved on, that this summer in July, they're probably going to be in the transfer market trying to find replacements and to upload their team to get prepared for the playoffs.
So, you know, obviously I'm thinking coach, I'm not in Coach Melberg's brain, and he, you know, has, I'm sure, a different way than Coach Carnell did, than John Hackworth did. But, you know, you coach, and where does City go from here? I mean, keep the back tight, obviously. Is it focusing on that midfield transition at that point, trying to figure out how we're sticking together? He did not like Cedric Teuscher and Simon Betcher kind of being isolated? Is it trying to keep those lines together? What's the one of the keys for City to grow into this next game?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when we win it, how are we going to get forward? And are we going to plan the break? Or are we going to try to advance the ball with possession? You know, I think all of us have recognized that we've gone backwards and sideways, and Olaf, I'm sure, has addressed it with the players as well. We've gone backwards and sideways a lot in the first two games, and it's eliminated the opportunity for us to get numbers higher up the field. So, you know, I would think he's talking about forward possession and playing in a direction and getting numbers forward to support Hartl and whatever two strikers are in the game. So that we can just get some numbers there to help support it, keep it, and hopefully get in behind somehow. We're so slow in that transition moment of when we win it, we're not able to play forward. There's just not enough movement for us to keep it. We end up going back. So, yeah, I would think that's where he's headed. And again, two shutouts is not a bad start. It's we've seen it on the other side where we were so attacking-minded that we were open in the back and balls were just getting flighted in behind us and it was difficult for us to defend them. We've seen that before. So now we're kind of flipped on the other side where we're solid and organized and outnumbering teams in the back. Now we're going to try to figure out how to loosen the reins a little bit and get some people forward.
All right. Thanks, Dale. I will look for you and Joey Zanaboni out in L.A. on the call on Y98.
Thank you.
Thanks. That was Dale Schilly, St. Louis City Academy Director and Game Analyst on Y98 for all city games, along with Joey Zanaboni. In other recent soccer news, the St. Louis Soccer Hall of Fame had its annual induction dinner. Among the honorees was City's own striker, Simon Betcher. We'll hear from him next, right here on the City Spotlight on KMOX. Jen Cease here, back with you on the City Spotlight here on KMOX. The show rolls on. We've enjoyed some thoughts from Coach Olaf Melberg, along with Dale Schilly, of course, who always appears on the show, or you can listen to him on the show, on his thoughts on the previous games and what's forthcoming. Just last week on Thursday, February 27th, the St. Louis Soccer Hall of Fame had its 55th anniversary induction dinner. If you happen to be online and we're streaming and you see us on Twitter or Facebook, I'm holding up the pamphlet right now. It was a great event. The St. Louis Soccer Hall of Fame always does a great job. Bill McDermott emceeing, which is classic. Over 1,000 attendees. I think this is the most, I don't know if it's a record, but it's definitely the most they've had since the pandemic. 1,000 attendees over came to honor the fantastic induction class. You can find all the information about who was inducted and honored on their website online and through Facebook, along with the other great honors for individual players and coaches who've made an impact in the beautiful game. Among them was the Betcher family. St. Louis City SC striker Simon Betcher and his grandfather, Bill Betcher, received awards for their achievements. I talked with Simon yesterday after a Windy City training day. You'll hear it on the audio. And started by asking him about his Hall of Fame night.
It was really cool, first off, to see my grandfather win an award for, I think it was for lifetime achievement or something along those lines. So just the amount of work he put into the St. Louis soccer community, it's really cool to see that recognized, especially with a lot of family there. And for myself, yeah, just, you know, obviously looking at the past recipients, some really, really cool names on there. So really humbling and honored to receive it.
Yeah, and you think about St. Louis, right? Mm-hmm. St. Louis soccer, and it's really soccer families, and you've got a soccer family that finally kind of gets some recognition that was definitely due.
Yeah. I mean, all night you heard, you know, the stories about growing up watching the 1950s team, growing up watching the Billikens when they were winning all their national titles, you know, the Brian McBride, you know, all these people, the Taylor Twellman. It's like watching all these people grow up. And it's kind of cool now. Obviously, we have City and, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe I don't always see it or the guys don't always see it, but kind of seeing how close-knit the community is and all those people bringing their kids to the games and, you know, hopefully inspiring the next generation, which for me is one of the coolest things.
And if you think about, too, Mr. Soccer, Bill mm-hmm. McDermott, who's always a great master of ceremonies, there isn't a soccer story in St. Louis that he doesn't know.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, he always does a really good job and always calling the SLU games and, you know, known him for a good amount of years. So he does a really good job of things and does everyone justice, yeah. Make sure everyone's recognized. And yeah. A really cool night.
So moving to current soccer, mm-hmm. besides the Hall of Fame, two games. Mm-hmm. There's no trends. You don't mm-hmm. have trends after only two games. Okay, right. There's preseason too. Mm-hmm. How do you feel the team is as best as you can with preseason and the two performances at the top level so far?
Yeah, like you said, you know, no real trends. Like we're kind of looking game by game, performance by performance. I guess in a weird way, we were happy, but, you know, very unsatisfied with our performance against Colorado, feeling like we should have walked away with 3 points. And then San Diego, obviously, you know, a really good team, a lot of energy. And I think looking at St. Louis's expansion team and the energy they had and how hard it was to play at City Park when it was City Park. Yeah, so I think now, you know, you kind of see in that inaugural game, it was not necessarily how we wanted it, but defending 11 players behind the ball, you know, doing a ton of dirty work from the back guy to the front guy. We see it as a huge amount to build on. And I think, you know, looking at the Colorado game, you can see the chances we generated and how our style really wants to look. And I think if we're this difficult to score, and I think it's going to be a really, really, really good foundation for us. And I think around the team, you know, we're confident we can score goals. We're confident we can generate chances. We're confident we can play in really tough environments. That's probably going to be the toughest environment any team will go into all year. So to walk out with a point kind of shows where we are.
To think about the Colorado game, 18 to their two.
Right.
And let's be fair, some of them were just great chances, but their goalkeeper was on the money. He was
right.
a little bit like our Roman Berkey. Mm-hmm. So when you're right exactly where you were,
right.
putting shots exactly mm-hmm. where they would normally go in, and you just got robbed.
Yeah.
On another day, those go in mm-hmm. and you have 3 points. That's a different conversation.
Right.
City having 4 points versus just two. You're still undefeated. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just a matter of perspective.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, taking all the positives and what we need to work on from the Colorado game and applying them to San Diego, and again, looking at that game really critically. And I think for us, it's just taking another step towards the next game. And if we can be really difficult to beat on the road like that and, you know, come to Energizer Park and win games, I think we're going to be in a really good place. And yeah, for us, it's just about getting better every day and taking on the challenges every day and improving. And obviously we look at San Diego, how we can improve on the ball, off the ball, being better in transitions, being better on the ball. So yeah, I think the team, you know, we talked about the growth mindset we have and how collective we feel and how we feel like we're trending in a really good direction. And for us, you know, that's really important. Yeah, just moving into the next match with a clear mindset and a lot of confidence with the squad.
Well, next match, LA Galaxy, mm-hmm. winners of the league, mm-hmm. right? So we got to respect there. But to be fair, sometimes you can take advantage of a team that's not at its best. And right now, missing Ricky Pooch, missing Paintsil,
right.
Is that something that City's looking to capitalize on? Right for the picking, maybe.
Yes. You know, obviously we recognize the quality that they have in their squad all the way through. And, you know, the former MLS Cup champions. So something that, you know, we won't be taking lightly. But yeah, you know, recognizing that it's a really good opportunity for us to go out and make a statement on the road in a tough place to play. I think, again, we're growing. We feel ready. And, you know, going there, a team that I think, you know, we can beat and that we can cause a lot of problems for.
You're scoring this game. I know it. You're due.
Yeah, I hope so.
If he scores, I'm going to totally take credit for that. That was Simon Vetcher, St. Louis City striker and recent honoree at the St. Louis Soccer Hall of Fame with his thoughts. Happy, but certainly not satisfied. More to come with news just yesterday released that immediately impacts girls high school soccer in Missouri. We'll talk about it next on the City Spotlight right here on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city! Our spirit!
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
Welcome back for the last segment of the City Spotlight. I'm glad you're still here. Jen Cease here downtown with KMOX. During the halftime show for City Games on our sister station, Y98, we always have a guest at halftime. And we focus on many times soccer in society. So we take a local focus on the game. We're going to do the same thing here on City Spotlight and shift gears over to a local thing that I saw in the news yesterday, and it was really taken by surprise. Want to welcome in Dr. Jennifer Ruckstad, Executive Director for the Missouri State High School Activities Association. If you're somebody like me, we just call it MISHA. Dr. Jennifer Ruckstad, thank you for joining me tonight.
I'm glad to be with you. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I will tell you, I took a look and got it sent to me. I'm a former soccer player and a soccer mom, so of course I see a lot of this. MISHA grants temporary exemption for girls soccer non-school competition following strong member school support. Want to just ask you a little bit what that meant to me at the time, and when my daughter came home from practice with her club team is, hey, mom, we can compete in some of these, you know, right now, some of the bigger leagues have some really important club activities going on, and now necessarily these players don't have to choose between these activities and starting high school soccer. Do I have that right?
For a short period of time, that is true. Until our first allowable contest date, which the first allowable contest for spring of 2025 is March 20th. So from now until March 19th, they would not have that restriction.
Gotcha. So until, and they still have to get in a certain number of training sessions or practices, if I've got that right. Is that still right?
Yes. All of our sports have a requirement of 14 conditioning practices before they're eligible to participate in a game.
Gotcha. And so looking at your news release, which was really great, great source of information, that looking at, you sent out a survey, 44% of the member schools participated, almost 52% responded, and almost 83% responded allowing that exception for girls soccer. What kind of message does that deliver to you and the rest of the board that oversees this? Obviously, maybe causing this change. Was it something that you saw coming?
The Yes and no. We have been working with the membership for the last few years to really look at this particular issue. And so the rule works for, it applies to all of our team sports. It says that you are not able to participate in non-school competition during your season. However, because of the sport of softball, and in Missouri we have two softball seasons. We have a fall and a spring, but our predominant season is in the fall. Because of the sport of softball being a fall sport, and kind of historically softball has some finishing up of their summer season as you move into the beginning of the school year, there was an exception in fall sports. So all fall team sports had an exception up through the Tuesday after Labor Day. No winter teams, team sports or spring team sports had the exception. As you know, in Missouri, boys soccer is a fall sport. So boys soccer has had access to this exception, whether they used it or not. Mm-hmm. They've had access to the exception. This has been a bone of contention for the girls soccer community in our state for a few years. The thing that I cannot make rules. Right. I am the executive director and I don't make the rules. We're an association of member schools. Sure. And they make the rules. So we're the ones to enforce the rules. We are the staff that enforces the rules. We help the members follow their own rules.
Right.
We've listened to the concerns from the girls soccer community and many of our schools who have had students in this difficult position. And we're talking specifically in those first few weeks of the official season before games start, because that's analogous to what's happening in the fall sport exception. So we went to the membership last year asking if they were interested in a change to the non-school participation rule at all. And we gave several options. One of those options was looking at that period before the start of the game season. And as a rule, the membership was not interested in changing their rule. At that time, we presented this kind of issue we were having with girls soccer. And it's not just because of the boys season having the access, but also there's really no national season, no kind of agreed upon national season for girls soccer.
Right. That is challenging for sure.
Right. So with the question kind of, hey, do we want to change it across the board for team sports? Last year, membership said no. We came back to the membership this year and said, okay, if we're not going to change it for all team sports, let's look specifically at girls soccer for the two reasons I've already talked about. Yeah. Because we didn't have we don't have another situation similar. And we presented it at our area meetings in January. So our governance year, we go to area meetings in January, present a number of topics that the board sends us out with for the membership to consider. Then we have what we call the annual questionnaire in February, which just closed on Friday, where we get to kind of run a few things up the flagpole and find out where the membership is currently sitting with issues. And that gives us good information about what questions to ask on the annual ballot in April that makes any sort of bylaw changes. And we got really strong, as you've already kind of talked about the data that was in our press release, we got really strong support of this idea for offering the exception for girls soccer. As it is, we can't change that rule officially until next year. But when we have information that says the membership's going to pass this, it will change next year. And we're in a position where, I'm in a position as executive director that I can't make a rule. But when I have significant data telling me this is inevitable, then let's go ahead and provide relief this year for the same period of time we're going to be talking about for next year, and provide it for this year. So that's what we did. We acted really as quickly as we could after getting the, you know, kind of the official data from the membership saying, yes, this is going to happen.
Well, I'll tell you what, I will come clean. I have a dog in the fight. I have a daughter who plays. She plays club and has yet to play for her high school. And she came home literally last night from soccer practice. And I don't know that she's changed her mind, but she's currently out in Florida. The Girls Academy League is having their Champions Cup. And she said, Mom, I came home and two players that had thought that they weren't going to play high school have said they're going to play high school. So I know it doesn't solve all the problems and challenges, but I did want to let you know that it made an immediate impact on her team. And hopefully it keeps moving in the right direction. And I appreciate you coming on the show.
No problem. I appreciate getting to talk about it. And I'm sure it's going to be kind of an evolving situation as it's so new.
Thank you so much. We appreciate all your work.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Dr. Jennifer Ruckstad, Executive Director for MISHA, talking about the changes that they've made today, actually yesterday announced, and already making an impact on girls' high school soccer in Missouri. Awesome. We're going to keep tabs on that and be looking at that throughout the season as the high school season for girls is getting underway. Busy show. Thanks to guests Jennifer, of course, Dr. Ruckstad, as well as Dale Schilly for coming on. And it's always great to have audio and thoughts from players like Simon Betcher and, of course, Olaf Melberg, whenever we can get his thoughts about what City's doing with their season. Appreciate Kyle Sixta on the controls for the show. If you miss any part of this City Spotlight, you can always find it free on the Odyssey app. That's under the podcast section. Also, it has previous content. So Simon Betcher's interview, for example, Coach Olaf Melberg, Dale interviews him before every game. So we keep those there as well. So if you ever want to know what he was thinking on a game day, that's where you go. Consider it your one-stop shop reference for all things City on KMOX and Y98. The next 2025 MLS regular season game for St. Louis City SC is away on the West Coast against the 2024 MLS Cup champions LA Galaxy. That's Sunday, March 9th. Pregame at 5:30 on our sister station Y98. Again, pregame is a great place to catch up if you're driving in or if you're driving somewhere. You can play it on your Odyssey app where you can find out what's going on in the brain of Coach Olaf Melberg, City player interview, and Joey Zanaboni also does a scouting report with the opposition, and we sometimes find out some great things there that you can look forward to for the game. So, make sure you check in with us on the app and check us with us 30 minutes before each pregame show. The news is up next. Thanks for listening to the City Spotlight. There's more to come on America Sports Voice, KMOX.